Lord, thank you for your amazing presence in this place. Father, now as we break open your word, may you just continue to speak to us. Continue to reveal your nature, your love, your attention to details, to the aspects of our life, that God, you let nothing out of your purview. In your care, in your watch, the details that you take, the lengths that you go. God, we just respond in gratitude and thanksgiving to you for being an amazing God, a loving God who does not give up on us. Your love is relentless. Father, we just ask and invite your Spirit to lead us, to speak to us from your word this morning. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all the church says, amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, we worship you. We praise you this morning. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Phenomenal. Phenomenal again. Can I just say it's so good to be in God's house this morning. And good to be back. I trust you guys are having a great Thanksgiving holiday weekend. And so all the kids to King's Kids, you are released. You may go. Go in the love of the Lord, and all the parents say, yes, please, go. Have an enjoyable time. Trust you guys had an amazing Thanksgiving. We did. Stacy and I ventured to Sioux City, Iowa for a few days, and man, it was a blast. Our youngest kids surprised us by showing up from Missouri on Thanksgiving night, and so we got to spend Thursday night and Friday and a little bit yesterday morning with them. So that was a pleasant surprise as they shocked us. It was so fun to watch Stacy's face because I was a little clued in, but it was a good time, very good time. Well, turn with me to Numbers chapter 6. We're going to break in for the last time on this series that we've been going through Numbers chapter 6, looking at the blessing of that Aaron spoke over the nation of Israel that really has, Stacy and I felt from the beginning as we were even praying long before Calvary came on the scene. We just knew that this was a passage wherever the Lord would take us that would be really formational for where we are going to go. And even more than location, now that we've been here and we're rolling into, it's hard to believe, we're almost to 2 months in. And but I'm loving just the leading of God in this, and really see even more, because really, ideally, we had planned to probably end this series a couple weeks ago, and just God just kept showing aspects of this passage that I really feel is for all of us, and especially as we're on a Thanksgiving weekend, we're hopefully beyond the football and the food and Black Friday, elbowing people for the deals. Didn't see anybody was too bruised up from Black Friday, trying to dig those deals. Maybe you were with me and maybe you just did it all online and avoided the crowd. But one of the amazing parts is throughout this weekend is really the inventory. I hope you took a moment and just breathed in the gratitude of what God is doing in your life. And what he's doing in this church, it's really quite amazing. Even just this morning, just what I can sense that God is doing in this church. I'm just telling you, I'm grateful for a church that's spirit-led and willing to be led by that. Doesn't always happen in every church. Doesn't happen in every Assemblies of God church. And that there's vitalness to what we do. And so where God wants to take us in the days ahead, that's why I look at this passage. This series is so formational to where we want to start. And God wants us to be a church. In fact, there's four things that I would tell you right now that this church is all about. Four words come out to my mind. This is a church that reaches people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are your core values that you had as a church before we came. And it's still the truth today. That we're all about reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're a church that invests in the people who respond to the gospel. with the intention of making them part of the body of Christ and part of Calvary Church. We're a church that equips believers through discipleship, training others to effectively do the work of service, to do the work of ministry. We're not in it to do it alone. And then we're a church that releases the Spirit-empowered followers into ministry by living and sharing the gospel of Jesus. And that's really critical. You know, the gospel is not a message that you just share. It's a life we live. It's both and. And I love that we are a church that values that. And so in the mix, as we go into our passage for the seventh and the last time, and I encourage if you've missed some of these messages, go back either on our website or you can go back through Facebook. But let's look at Numbers chapter 6, starting off in verse 22, one last time on this Sunday morning. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, bless the people of Israel with this special blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. And whenever Aaron and his sons bless the people of Israel in my name, I myself will bless them." See, God's been stringing together, much like we've been stringing Christmas lights, so now you can officially turn them on. I say officially. I mean, we would be ones that would jump the gun a couple weeks. But God is taking some of these amazing parts of this passage and stringing a fabric together that I don't want us to miss. So in a quick review, because these are glimpses of God's character and his nature. And if we miss one of them, we end up with a misinformed faith. And God wants you to have as clear of a picture of who he is, what he intends to do in your life, what he intends to do in the life of Calvary Church is dramatic. It is dramatic. That's why it goes back and why the words that we heard from the Spirit is so incredibly powerful. Just like last week, and the interpretation was all dealing about the peace of God and was important to even bringing context to God's word later on and God's word supporting and anchoring those words. And the same as today, we have a God that's personal, that wants you to draw near, and he wants to reveal himself in a special, deep way. In this next season, he wants to show you more of his favor, more of his presence, more of his power, more of himself at work in your life than you'd ever thought was possible before. He doesn't want you to feel trapped into, he's not a God of just Sunday morning. But he's the God of Monday morning, Tuesday morning, the all-important Wednesday morning. You know what I mean. It's the middle of the week. He's the God of Saturday night. He's the God 24/7. And he wants to be that jealously of 24/7, 365 in your life. And he wants to do it in a way that will astound you when you start to look back at what God is doing in you, in your family, what he longs to do. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you in ways that would be indescribable, that you'd think that why would God do that to me? Because he thinks of you in such an incredible way. He wants to protect you. He doesn't want, as he begins to bless you, you'll take steps of faith, and all of a sudden, you'll have conflicts that will come your way. It just will happen. And what's amazing is to know that you're going to have a God that sees things that you don't always see. He sees tomorrow, the next day, the next year, the next month. He sees it all, and he'll protect you. We may feel like we get blindsided by events, but here's the great thing that we can always take to heart is we have a God that always sees our blind side. And he will always walk next to you. It's a guarantee. He will be our protective God. He will smile on you, where he'll just put such a presence of his love, his grace on your life. He'll smile on you. He'll show you his favor. He'll be gracious to you. In other words, he will not give you what we all deserve. He'll give you way more because he's the grace-giving, amazing God that he is. He's a God that wants to play favorites in to those who love him. So whoever calls on him, he wants to play favorites in your life. He wants you to know you're his favorite. Isn't that nice to know? Isn't it? I mean, it's always nice to be the favorite one, right? Not the one that's not being favored, right? Because then that gets a little tick offish, you know, the older one's ticked off at the younger one because the younger one always seems to carry the favor. The younger one doesn't know what's going on. The middle child's just ticked off right now because I didn't even mention him. You're always overlooked. But the favored one, God sees each person as his favorite to who loves him. It's the God we serve. So when we start to capture the context in all of this and all that life will bring, he gives us his peace. So even in the midst, now that all the family's leaving, and you finally go, do you hear that? You hear that? I know my brother and sister-in-law are saying that this morning. They're also probably missing the noise of having 12 grandkids running around the house. But there's that part where you just, do you hear that? Here's the amazing part. God wants to bring a peace to your heart and life, not just your surroundings. But he will do that in and through you to your surroundings. God will bring us his peace, his shalom, that will help us in the most rockiest of times. And so this is where I want us to travel to today is, in fact, this is normally where I would have ended, but God brought something out of 27, verse 27 that I didn't want us to miss. And if you go to some different translations, if you will pull that up, because I've been reading out of the NLT, and you can see what it says, whenever Aaron and his sons bless the people of Israel in my name, I myself will bless them. In other words, as you do this, I will bless them with all that I just shared. But then as I read in the NIV, I saw this. It says, so they will put my name on the Israelites. And just something struck with me. And I will bless them, as it says. I will put my name on. I really loved thinking of that, putting my name on. God writing his name on your life, like engraving on you his name, which then when you start to unpack all of what his name is, and that's where we're going to travel today, is I didn't want you to miss this, because there's something powerful about knowing your identity to know how to travel in your relationship with God. God looks at you as his favored one. He looks at you as one that not only does he favor, but he is putting all of his reputation behind you because he believes in you. His reputation of bringing his power, his presence, and where you can believe on him and let him come through. So he's challenging us as a church to dream big. So when we talk about a church that penetrates and reaches the Marinette and the Menominee area, see, I can say it right, Catherine. She's been teasing me how I say Menominee. It's been a running joke in staff meetings, and with a lot of you. So you've been putting up with me. Thank you very much. And God's going to challenge us as a church to really dream big. But what's your definition of dreaming big? If we could reach this area, wouldn't it be fun that we'd have to run multiple services? Maybe wouldn't it be fun to have to go to multiple locations? And it's not because of the activity, hear my heart. It's because of the transformed lives and what God is doing. That's what excites. It's more than numbers, and it's more than anything. Those are the base, that's like baseless, but it's the lives of faith being changed, transformed throughout this area. Lives so gospelly transformed. Can we have gospel transformations? Wouldn't it be amazing? Every time I go, when I drive by North Point, I'm just praying, God, I pray that the drink that they hold in their hand gets so boring that it's like, well, this isn't giving me the rush I needed. Anything that they're being stimulated visually, may it just draw them to a part where they just realize, man, they're missing something much more than what's in that place. And that there's a God-shaped hole in their life. And we've had it already occur, but I'm praying for more. That God will just have people driving by the church and just, oh, let's check this out today, and pull in the parking lot. We've already had it happen. Maybe we, God, let's make it more weekly. That all of a sudden, God, you just start to, but see, that's the vision I just want. What are you dreaming for? God wants to bring his reputation of who he is behind you, behind everything that we dream. Even for your life, what are you dreaming for your family? What are you dreaming for your marriage? What are you dreaming for your business? That this could be an amazing year, not just in profits, but the business people that you get to influence, because God's bringing you across paths that they can already start to see there's a little bit different business leader that they're working with, regardless of where you work. Maybe there's just a different way you do your ethic that's just different from people around you, and it's all attributed to God's work, his power, shining in and through you. Are you dreaming? Because God wants to put his name on you. I love Ancestry.com. There's some parts I've never broken down to actually buy it. There's times I get interested in it because you can find so much about your family history, your origins, which is quite helpful. But I've had family do that for me. So they've been giving me all the different ancestry from different points. And in fact, I want to show you one picture of my family background. So if you could pull up the next picture. This is from a family reunion of my mom's side. So my mom's maiden name is Sandberg. You go to Western Nebraska. If you get on I-80, the last stop before you can head into Wyoming is Kimball, Nebraska. You take Highway 71 north, 40 miles, you'll come into Gearing, Nebraska. And so this is a family reunion probably about 50 years ago. That's me in the lower, what would be your lower right-hand corner. You can kind of see it's written on there a little bit with my name on it. With an arrow up, yeah, that's me kind of, you can tell I'm already that ADD kid, can't sit still for a family picture that only takes a moment, got to get moving. But seated right in the middle is my grandparents, Morris and Myrtle Sandberg. One of the fun parts is just the county south of us, so just as you get off I-80, there's three counties. You get off in Kimball County, Kimball, Nebraska. You go 20 miles, you'll go through Banner County. That's really where my mom and dad, or my mom was raised, and it's where my grandma and grandpa spent a bulk of their lives. They were the first grocery store owners in Banner County, was my grandparents. They were some of the first county judges, county clerks of any sort, first mail carrier. Like there would be parts, I'd hear stories, literally kind of Pony Express-like with my doing the county, that was my grandfather. And when my grandfather passed away 30 years ago, it was real interesting hearing several people that came to this ceremony, to this funeral service, that had named their kids Morris because of the kindness that my grandfather had shown their family. They were so stunned. They didn't even know him well. But because of his kindness, the way he would serve and help people, it impacted them that they wanted to name their kids after him. That's an amazing legacy. In fact, later on, my grandfather and then my Uncle Larry, who's in the brown suit to the left of my grandmother with his arms crossed there, they started a farm implement. So as you drive into Gearing, Nebraska, it's still there. My cousin Kelly runs it today. Sandberg implement, it's still visible right on the highway. See, there's just something about family history. It feels good that people search for meaning. They search for purpose. Is there something more legacy about my family's history somehow that would help us feel better about ourselves? See, I'm grateful for a legacy like that. I'm also grateful for this legacy. You can go to the next picture. This is my great-great-grandfather, Dorman. And I think I mentioned it the Sunday we candidated with you. He was a circuit riding preacher that did preaching out in Western Nebraska, the southern Black Hills of South Dakota, and eastern Wyoming. Here I thought, when I got a call to ministry, I thought I was trailblazing a path, had no clue about any of our family background. It wasn't until we were living in Waupaca that I found out a lot of this history. that my great-great-grandfather was part of an incredible movement that was very significant for church history. As the gospel went west, you had circuit riding preachers that, because of where they would preach their revival points, it would often start then with churches, because they would come back every so often. There were preaching points, and then a church would get started, which the church I grew up in was actually started by his daughter and son-in-law, which is where the Hulbert name came in. So my great-grandmother, I'm going to butcher it, Aldie Hulbert, and her husband planted the church in Gearing, Nebraska that I grew up in. Had no clue that that was the history and root. And so my encouragement to you is this: as much as people will spend millions of dollars trying to find significance in their family history, as somehow to anchor them, to feel it puts them in a position better in life. And so maybe you're going, I have no family history. I mean, in the ones that I have, I kind of want to forget. Here's the great news today, is God wants to write his name on you. It's the greatest legacy. As much as I look at this and I'm grateful to know that I have leaders in my family that have long chased after a call of God on their life, I so much want to chase after the call of God on my life. And my encouragement to you is that the greatest legacy you will leave for your family, you can start new family legacies today, is are you passionately chasing after Jesus? And so my encouragement to you today, and this is the big idea behind my message today, is my primary identity is who God sees me as, and he extends his name onto. One of the greatest takeaways you can have is to know that your primary identity, my primary identity, is who I am unto him, and that he will write his name on my life. It's the greatest thing that you can pass on. It's the greatest treasure that will be timeless. Anything else you hope to pass on will deteriorate and go away. And that's why I really feel that this is going to be powerful for us as a church, is to understand whose legacy are we really standing on. It's going to be so much fun in 4 years when we celebrate that this church is 100 years old. That we can take back and look back and just to realize all the incredible history, all of it. There was good years, bad years, there was lean years, there was going to be, but through it all, God proved himself faithful. Faithful. Faithful, faithful. I mean, we are in this place today because of the faith of amazing leaders who ventured out over 100, 100 years ago. It wasn't even a thought. But to think back 96 years ago, let's strike out and just find a place downtown to meet. And it's just amazing that the faith and then the work of what God did. See, our primary identity as a church needs to be in who God is and what he wants to write his name on. Pastor Stacy and I are not going to lead this like a celebrity pastor church. It's not our style. Never will be. We want God to be the celebrity. And trust me, that doesn't mean that we don't do things well. But here our heart is, there's a whole lot of different personalities, different styles. But God wants us to chase to make sure that when people come into this place, they will see things done well. They will feel God's presence. But that's the first thing is, man, it's amazing what God's done. And it won't be attributed to just one person. It won't be attributed to a pastor. It won't be attributed just because you have a phenomenal board, which you do. It's not just attributed. It's all it comes back to. It's a church that's leaned in faith because they know whose identity they have. Amen. And the willingness, the humbleness to let God write on their life. So this is where we want to travel this morning, is to say, God, write your name on my life. God, let your name be written on my life. So what are some of those names? Let's go through these quickly. Because I just highlighted a few. And in fact, I encourage you, if you want an additional study, If you have your smartphone, I encourage you, if you have not downloaded the YouVersion app on your smartphone. So if you have a dumb phone, then you have a dumb phone. You can't do this. But if you have a smartphone, an iPad, I encourage you to download the Bible app from YouVersion. It's a free app. You have studies on there. If you type in, search for Bible readings, Bible studies on the name of God, you will find it. And you're going to find more names than what I'm going to highlight this morning. And you could even do what we're talking here and go through the names of Jesus. Because here's the amazing part. The different names in Scripture that's attributed to who Jesus is all plays to the same point of whose identity is really being written on our life and what God wants to write on your life. See, God wants to write a new story about you. God wants to write a new legacy that when we've assumed room temperature, that God will look, people will look back at our life and they'll see God's hand at work writing on our life. My prayer is this, is that these names will be some of the first things that people will start to look for. And so this is what we need to be chasing, is to be more in his image, right? So let's look at the names of God. First name, Yahweh or Jehovah. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. And in this name, Yahweh, Jehovah, this is really what the Jews would call God. And because they would take great care and they would never mention the word God flippantly. Like there was so much care, like even as it's spelled in the Hebrew, there's no vowels. Because they were so afraid that even just putting a letter began to limit God. And remember, the Hebrew language is usually very picturesque. And that was one of their biggest part was all of a sudden was to create a name that also had an image that because God cannot be fit into a character. And that was their fear, was that they were already sinning by trying to even write down the name of God. So they took great trepidation at this, but Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, the Lord, the God. So when we talk about God, we're talking about Yahweh, Jehovah, the God, not just a God, capital T-H-E, the God. The God who will come through for you. A God who will part waters for you. Not just little waters, but entire seas. He will part because he wants to demonstrate his power and presence. To the God who spoke to Moses, I am who I am in Exodus 3. This name specifies the immediate presence of Yahweh. The God himself is present and accessible. Coming near to those who call for deliverance, forgiveness, and guidance. The second name is very similar. Second name is Jehovah Adonai, the Lord. This comes out in Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. And here's the part that differentiates. The Jews used Yahweh for themselves. But for those who were the Gentiles, for those who were non-Jews, they went with this name to help us, sinful people that aren't Jews, to be able to have a name to be able to call to God. So the God Adonai is the Lord for the Gentiles, the God who's the God, but it's for all those who aren't of the Jewish persuasion. Look at it in 15 verses 1 and 2. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision and said to him, "Don't be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and reward you. And your reward will be great." But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you have given no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth." See, the name attributed here goes back to being an Adonai, that God makes a way for the Jew and the Gentile, for every person to be able to call unto him. There is no wall. We have a God that wants to speak into our life for us to dream, to know him, to trust him. He's our Adonai. He's our Jehovah Adonai that we can call to a God that wants every person to approach. This God wants us to have every person be able to approach him and come unto him. Third, Jehovah Shalom. We hit on this a lot last week. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord who is peace. See, God wants to be the Lord of your life, the Lord of peace. He wants to be able to speak into your life a peace. In Judges chapter 6, the people of Israel were terrorized by a tribe of nomadic warriors, and they were called Midianites. All of Israel trembled in fear of the Midianites because they would come and raid and rampage and pillage and kill almost at will. The whole nation of Israel and a bunch of tribes without national unity was constantly on an edge. So without unity, they struggled. But notice in Judges chapter 6, verse 12, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, and he's speaking to Gideon. He goes, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." So Gideon is struggling with confidence at this point. God, are you really real? We're being attacked. And God begins to speak to Gideon to take a step to be a leader. And the amazing part was, isn't it amazing that God spoke to him and said, "Hey, mighty man." Gideon felt anything but that. But Gideon wanted to say, "Who, me? God, there's no way you would come through with me for me like this, right? You don't want me doing this." And this is where I want, again, we're traveling on roads of faith that God wants us to go to. And he wants to write that he'll be the God of Shalom, that as you take the steps of faith and things will happen that you weren't expecting along the trail, and it'll happen all the time. "Well, God, I didn't expect it to go this way. I didn't expect there to be snow this morning on the weekend of Thanksgiving." Yeah. We'll just go through it. It's Christmas time, right? Here's the amazing part that we can bank on is that we have a God who will bring us peace. Look at it in verse 22 and 23. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, when he began to realize that this is God speaking to him, he cried out, "Oh, sovereign Lord, I'm doomed. I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." And this is where the Lord replies. He goes, "It's all right. Don't be afraid. You will not die." Look at verse 24. And Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it Yahweh Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. See, God extends his peace to all. And there's parts when God begins to speak, and he will, and he's already spoken to us this morning, when he speaks into our life, regardless of the tremors that life can bring, when we hear from God, he'll bring a peace. When it's really God, some points when you're trying to go through messages, like, is this God? Is this of God? Here's what you'll find is when you begin to pray and you begin to seek through your own self, you're going to find a measure of peace. And there'll be just a part. You'll just be like, okay, yes, God is speaking to my situation and I trust him. See, that's the part where we can begin to dig into. The next word, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. See, we have a God who heals. We have a God that wants to bring healing to our life. Exodus chapter 15, verses 24 through 26 says, "Then the people complained and turned against Moses. 'What are we going to drink?' they demanded. And Moses cried out to the Lord for help. And the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw it into water, and it made the water good to drink. And he said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in your sight, obeying his commands, keeping his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any diseases that I have sent to the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." One of the amazing parts when I look at this passage is I love Moses in the sense Moses, some points again, we make Moses onto a platform and Moses is sitting there, the people are griping at him because they're drinking gross water. And Moses is not knowing how to process all the complaints. And yet he's doing, and then God strikes the idea of taking a piece of wood and throwing it in. And yet amazingly, that step of faith, God purifies the water. Where now everybody's drinking it and hey, this isn't half bad. This is pretty good water. All of a sudden, the complaints began to dissipate because God healed. If God can heal waters, guess what he can do in your physical body? Guess what God can do to any affliction that you have? If you have an allergy, if you have cancer, whatever it might be, just know that we have a God that wants to write on your name, on your life, healed. Because there are, look, we live in decaying bodies already. The moment we were born, guess what? It's a trajectory. But God wanted us to, and wants to be reminded, but there will be a day you will have full, complete bodies when you're in my presence. This life is looking through a darkened glass, but just know that at the end of this, I'm going to restore everything that you lose. He will heal you. One part, one way, he is our healer. And it's one of those parts today that I encourage you, especially as we come out of COVID, there's so much on the mental health side. Just know God can heal you. God can heal the mental. He can heal the physical. He can heal the emotional. The emotional scars that can be there that you just feel like, boy, that's so hard. It's hard to forgive. It's hard to let go. Just know that God can heal. God can heal the hurts that this church has had to go through. He's already done it. He's already doing it. Just know he wants to do that in you. He wants to write healed on your heart and life today. Look at the next word, Jehovah Elohim, the Lord who creates, my creator. I love this. Jeremiah 31, 33. God is our creator, the mighty, strong God. Jeremiah 33, verse 33 says this in 31. Chapter 31, verse 33. I can talk, trust me. Verse 33. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Such a prophetic promise of what Jesus fulfilled. But it's also the creative God who is spoken to in this verse. In Hebrew, it's Jehovah Elohim, the Lord who creates. God will create a new covenant that Jesus fulfilled. God loves to create. And this is what we can continue to see, is the creative nature of God just wasn't in Genesis. It's his very character. So if you're facing a situation that seems dark and bleak, here's the great thing to know, is that you serve a God who restores, who creates, who would love to recreate the situation that you might face now. But as we lean in, just as Moses, or just as Jeremiah is prophesying here, for those who listen to his instructions and let him write it deep within, guess what he will do? Guess what he will be their God. God will demonstrate himself, his power, his presence in your life. He'll be a creative God that will recreate and reset things in your life, his entire mighty power. See, it's so great. I mean, and you need to look at Kurt's phone. He'll show you some great snow footage. So if you're a snow lover, go to Kurt. Show him the videos, all right? This is the time of the year I like snow. From this weekend to maybe the first week of January, then if we could go back to 60-degree weather, I'm a happy camper, all right? And the whole church says amen, except for Kurt. Kurt's like, nope, give me 10 feet. So I know that there's snow lovers of you that want to get out on the bay. Kip's ready to race his car out on the bay, aren't you? Itching for the, let's get that depth of ice. But you know how to get that depth of ice. It's not good. But one of the great things is our creative God, when we look at what we love in nature and the beauty, like even today, watching the countdown video, when I see the colors that wraps around our church during that countdown video, like even this morning, I'm just still looking at it going, oh, look at that color. See, God wants to display his artist degree in your life. God's an artist. And he wants to do his artist work in you and on you. So the all creative God wants to demonstrate himself to you. A couple more names quickly. Jehovah Shaddai, the Lord Almighty. Psalm 132, verses 1 through 5, the Lord, and this is incredible. You can look at it with me. Psalm, starting off in verse 1, Lord, remember David and all that he suffered. He made a solemn promise to the Lord. He vowed to the mighty one of Israel. So this is where we see this particular Hebrew word of Jehovah Shaddai, the Lord Almighty, come out in passage in Scripture. He vowed to the mighty one of Israel, the Lord Almighty, I will not go home. I will not let myself rest. I will not let my eyes sleep, nor close my eyelids in slumber until I find a place to build a house for the Lord, a sanctuary for the mighty one of Israel. I love how David leads in with this, is that he realizes in the heart of this is a prayer saying, my Jehovah Shaddai, who has come through repeatedly in my life, the Almighty God who flexes his might and his power when I pray, God moves. God wants that reputation on your life. That the Almighty God, when you cry out, he will step forward and literally flex his muscles in your situation. That's the one we can take to the bank. Another one, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord shall provide. Genesis chapter 22, verses 13 through 14. Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh Jireh, which means Jehovah Jireh, means the Lord will provide. To this day, people will use the name as a proverb. On the mountain, it will be provided. One of the incredible parts, Abraham for 25 years prayed to have a child. And then the Lord challenged him to take Isaac and to sacrifice him on an altar. So I know the Lord would never have allowed Abraham to go all the way through, but he was looking, are you going to be obedient? And one of the amazing parts in this passage is watching as God begins to speak into Abraham's life. The deep lesson that we can learn from this is that every day, whenever we're in, as Abraham cried out, God, I don't want to do this. But then the Lord looked over and provided a ram where there was no animals. God provided. And it's a reminder that God will provide. If you're going through a financial situation today, just know God will provide. If you're going through, again, it's on the physical side, God will provide. And any lane that you want to go through, God will provide. He'll provide for you. He'll provide for your family. He wants to write his provision on your life. Let's look at this last one, Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is our banner. Exodus chapter 17, verses 11 through 12. As long as Moses held up his staff in his hand, the Israelites had an advantage in this war, and this is with the Amalekites. As long as Moses held up his staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage, but whenever he dropped his hands, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired he would no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on, and they stood on each side of Moses holding his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. See, Joshua won the battle, but Moses interceded on the mountain. The Amalekites were defeated. In verse 15, we see Moses built an altar there and named it Yahweh Nissi, which means the Lord is my banner. So much of that imagery is lost today. Banners are hung in gyms, but it reflects backwards to something in the past. In this day, in this culture, the banner was actually what the advancing imagery of the army going forward, not looking back to a past event, but it actually was, this is who we are, and we're going into battle. See, God wants to be your banner that's going in front of you, a sign to you in your life that regardless of what you encounter, God's going before you today. You don't have to question. This is all about identity. I am the God who's going to go before you. He will be your banner. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. And that's why it goes back to the identity that we talked about earlier at the start of this message today. God wants to be your identity. Why is it so important? When you have the temptations, when you have life that just starts to hit you, you have a God that will be your banner. You have a God that will heal you. You have a God that will stand before you. And quickly, one last name, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. And I won't go too much in detail. Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 35, 48, chapter 48, verse 35. It's the very last verse in Ezekiel. The distance around the entire city will be 6 miles. And from that day, the name of the city will be that the Lord is there. Ezekiel concludes his prophecy by giving a future city a name. And that city would have that name for the rest of its life. The Lord is there. The Lord will reside forever in his people. This is what God wants for you to have, is a name to know that my God is always there. He's always there for you. Always. When you feel the most alone, when you feel the most isolated, just know you have a God who's there. When you feel like no one else, do you ever have moments where you just feel like you kind of want to scream, and it's not because you're out in the forest and you're doing that test? Hey, if this tree falls, will it make a sound? You know, but you're out there alone and you're just kind of like, you just kind of get that idea of just kind of yelling. Maybe some of you have that when you get in the shower in the morning, because all of a sudden you're going to think, hey, I really sound really good when I sing in the shower, right? Till everybody else in the house hears you. Your wonderful noise. At least that's my reputation, sorry. It's like, you okay? but here's the great news, is that as we call out to God, he wants his reputation, his name to be known, and he'll do that in your life. So let's look at these names all together again. When you look at these names, I just love it, because we have the name of Yahweh Jehovah, Jehovah Adonai, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rapha, our healer, Jehovah Elohim, the God who creates, he's my creator, Jehovah Shaddai, the Lord Almighty, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord shall provide, Jehovah Nisi, our Lord is our banner, and Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who's there. See, as you look at these names, these are your names that God wants to write on your life, and there's so many more. He wants it, his character, his activity be seen through your life. And this is what Pastor Stacy and I really want for you, is to be known as a believer and as a church of that. The character and the essence of God being at written and at work in your life. And just like any piece of art, you get around an artist, they're never really totally happy with a creation. Always. Not always, but most of the time. There's always something that they go, maybe I could do this a little different. Maybe I could, and this is the part, God always wants to create a work of art out of each of us, that our uniqueness gets accentuated. It doesn't get lost. Our uniqueness actually gets enhanced because God does his work in and through us. So you see these names. We've gone through this blessing for the last 7 weeks. How do we make this real? So how do we really, and this is where I want to just take the last couple minutes here and just quickly go through some things that, how do we make these things tangible? Like really, how do I make this? I hear you. Okay, God wants to be my banner. How do I take it from a moment where I've just had it go through my gray muscle between my ears? How do I actually make this transcend to Monday morning? Let me give you a couple things. How do I walk this out? First off, take each name to heart, and I encourage you, that's why I want to encourage you to go back and look at the names of God, even beyond the ones that I just shared this morning, because there's more. And there's going to be, without doubt, there'll be a couple of them that you'll kind of go, yes. You'll look at that list and go, because it'll probably hit maybe a painful point or a longing point that it's just like, God, yes, I really need this of you today. Second, get your mind and your heart ready. In other words, as you begin to pray through these names, be willing to say, God, speak to me. Show me. God's going to reveal some things in your area that you're going to have to ask forgiveness for. He's going to start to show you sin that needs to be offered up to him. He's going to speak some things to you. I just want to encourage you, pray boldly. Lean in. Have strength. Ask him. Thirdly, feed your strength, or feed your faith. Every day, you need to speak to it. In fact, I picked up some lists. When I say speak faith, even that last worship song was a measure of changing where you are at and how you worship God. Why so downcast my soul? I mean, when you think of some of the melody of the lyrics of that song, David had the same part with in the Psalms. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put my trust in God. He even had to have his conversation with himself. I encourage you, talk to yourself. So the morning when you're getting up and you feel defeated, when you feel like, oh, great, Monday, I don't want to go through this day, and you already start to already talk yourself into a defeated position, speak faith to yourself. So here's some things. I don't do this every day. I picked up this list initially from another pastor. His name's Craig Groeschel. And when I feel like I'm in a funky mood, I'll look through this some of these, and I've even written some of my own. But here'd be some. First off, Jesus, you are first in my life. He is the leader and Lord of my life. I exist to serve and glorify him. So I'm speaking to that. Today, Kent, you're the leader. My life will glorify you. I love my wife, and I will lay down my life to serve her. A model for my children how it is to love God and to serve people with a whole heart. I love people and believe the best in others. Lord, help me today to love people well. I'm disciplined. And this is a hard one after Thanksgiving, because I just go, okay, some points I don't look disciplined. I'm disciplined. Christ in me is stronger than any wrong desires in me. So today, when you have those temptations or whatever that temptations are, I serve a Lord. Christ is stronger in me than any of those temptations. And that's where I've got like 13 of these. I will walk my faith and not fear. That's one, honestly, has been one of the biggest ones I have to speak to myself often. Okay, Kent, walk boldly. Do not walk in fear. Kent, walk boldly. Don't walk in fear. Walk in faith. Trust the work that God's put in your life. Walk. Do it. Be bold. I love this last one. Today, when I'm looking at today, the world will be different and better because I serve Jesus today. So what are you speaking into your life? The moment you can go, oh man, God must really hate me, and you start going in this woe is me, and you speak that into your life, guess what you're going to get out? So my encouragement to you, if we're going to live out this and what God wants to do and through this church is so strong and so palpable, you've got to walk this out. You've got to feed your faith. And so my encouragement to you is speak faith every day. Feed your faith. That's why I love our worship team, because they will nail songs every single Sunday. My prayer is that you'll hear some of those songs when you turn on the radio during the week. That you'll be listening to K-Love, you could be listening to Q90, and you can go down the list. But my prayer is that you'll hear some of those songs and immediately you go back, yes, it's an anchoring song that just starts to remind you to what God has for you, his purposes, his plans. Find some of those songs. Let them be an anthem to you. Feed your faith, then speak to your faith every day. Let those songs be anchoring moments for you too. Fifth, be obedient with what God speaks. When you pray, trust me, he will speak back. Obey, do what he speaks to you to do. Have faith. And sixth and finally, it all starts when we ask. Just like this whole passage that we've been going through for 7 weeks, this blessing, even when it's spoken out, you still have to ask for it. You want God to bless your life. You want God to be your protector. You want God to shine in your life. You want God to do this, that. You can see it in scriptures. When we look at it right there on the screen, we want him to show his favor. We want him to give us his peace. We want him to write his name on my life. Guess what? It won't just happen because you are in church. It won't happen just because you are at a Christian event. You've got to ask. It won't happen just because you had a person next to you pray for you. It just, you have to meet your faith to the voice that God's put in your lungs. That's why I loved, again, that worship song that we sang right before this word today. That's why I just smiled when I looked at it, because there's so many parts. You know what? You might be approaching God with a whimpery voice, but God wants you to sing to him. Speak to him confidently that he's a God who listens to you, and find your voice pleasant to listen to. You're sitting there going, but it's noisy. I'm off key. Guess what? To God, it's the most beautiful music. And you're missing the blessing he wants to pour on your life, because he'll look at it and love it. Even now, your whisperings to him is but a beautiful melody that, trust me, he's leaned in and he's listened to your voice. That's the God we serve. But you've got to ask for it. So this morning, my greatest challenge to you is, if you're here, if you're watching online, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you just need to know it all starts there. You've got to invite him in. He's a God who wants to step in your life. It's the beginning point. For any person that's ever walked with Jesus, there's a moment you have to say, be my leader and my savior of my life. I understand you're coming near me. But there's a point. We've got to offer up the little we have, which is our sin, and just say, forgive me, but I give you my life. Lead, guide, speak. And if you're here today, you just need to know this, without an accident on a snowy day, that God would bring you here. He'd have you online, and all of a sudden you just stayed with us on a snowy day online, and God could deliver his truth to you to let you know he loves you and he cares for you. So if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, in a moment, I just encourage you to do the bravest thing you've ever done before in your life, and that is invite him in. Let him be the leader and Savior of your life. Would you all pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me and not giving up on me. Come into my life. Be my leader and Savior. Create a new life in me, in Jesus' name. Amen. See, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe it's rededicating your life, just know you've started a new walk with the Lord, and we want to pray with you. And as the worship team comes, come on, head on up. I just encourage us, before you go, and we're going to go into an extended worship. I'm not going to do a formal benediction at all or close. So in essence, this is the close. But I want, before you go, in fact, all of you, would you just stand with me? I encourage you to do this. Take a few moments before you leave here today and just say, God, what name? Maybe some of the names stuck out at you. Write that on my life. God, write your name, who you are, your character, your nature. Write that on my life. Be my healer today. Be my provider. Be my banner. Be the God who's there. Maybe you just need to know today that before you leave here, you have a God who's there in the boat with you in life. And so just take a few moments in worship and settle that in your heart. Can you do that today? So if I could have those who are even prepared to pray, if I could have our anointers and our prayer team come, if you have parts of your life too that you just want to have people agree with you, which is awesome. And maybe just a few minutes ago, for the first time, you rededicated yourself to the Lord, or you invited him in, would you make sure that you see one of us up front? Because we want to make sure we get you a Bible so we can get you started in that new relationship, because we want to celebrate with you on that too. But maybe there's just parts, as we go into this worship, and there's things you want prayer in agreement. James chapter 5, if you're sick, come before the elders of the church. Let them anoint you with oil. We want to be all about what God wants to do, because he is Jehovah Rapha, our God who heals. So make sure before you take a moment to leave here today, that you can leave with the confidence that God is riding on your life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being an amazing God. So Lord, as we go back into worship, Lord, we just pray that you will just have your power, your presence on display. God, we just invite you into the remaining moments that we have with you. And Father, I pray this blessing upon this church. May the Lord bless you and protect you. Lord, may you smile on everyone and be gracious to us. May you show us your favor and give us your peace. To the praise of your glory, to the building of your church, and the blessing on our life, God, we pray, may it come to pass. Write your name on our lives. Throughout this week, may we be known for your activity being real in our life. That's what we pray for. In Jesus' name.